Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
So today, Holy Mother Church celebrates the great feast of the Body and Blood of Jesus Christ. We used to call this Corpus Christi Sunday. Now, as I mentioned before, you see in the past several weeks this procession of liturgical feasts celebrating God. A few weeks ago, we celebrated the Ascension of Jesus Christ. Then after that was Pentecost. Last week was the Holy Trinity. And this week, it's the Body and Blood of Christ. And so this finishes that procession. And yet in this procession of liturgical feasts, we see how great God is and just how important our faith is to all of us. Now, what I want to do is I want to look at this feast, the Body and Blood of Christ, in two different ways. First, as a sacred meal established by God, and then a sacrifice. Now, no one can really understand the Eucharist without first seeing it in the Old Testament. When did our problems with God really start? Well, you could say it with a bad meal. Adam and Eve reaching out and grabbing that forbidden fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and then eating it. But we have to realize, God wanted from the very beginning, before even creation, what God wanted was to feed us with His life. The divine life of God, God wants to share that with us, such that it can only be received as a gift. I think the big mistake Adam and Eve made was they never understood that. In fact, they reached out and grabbed at that divinity, that divine life, and wanted to take it as a possession, all for themselves. Well, now we see throughout salvation history, after the fall of grace, it's God that actively pursues us in order for us to receive once again His divine life as a gift. And you see that, you know, throughout the Old Testament, God trying to reestablish that sacred meal. But it's more than a meal. Within the context of the meal, God shares His life with us as a gift. We receive it, and then we share it by living it out. And I think that is the best image of what God truly wants from us. Before the fall of grace, you know, God gave us life as a gift. What did original sin do? Well, it broke it up. It busted the whole relationship. And yet, it was God who actively pursues us, you know, throughout covenant in the Old Testament. Until finally, yes, He does establish the sacred meal for the Israelites. We know it as the Passover meal. Now, this established by God, it's a ritually defining moment in which essentially the people acknowledge God's love for them and their commitment to God. Now, again, the Passover meal was established by God as a sacred meal that God was to share with the Israelites. Now, it's interesting, God tells the Israelites, you know, exactly what food to eat, how to prepare the food, you know, when they should eat it, and then what clothes they should be wearing when they eat it as people in flight. And so there, in the Passover, we see the Israelites now sharing a sacred meal with God. And in doing so, God essentially gives them or shares with Him His life as a gift. Now, fast forward to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, you look throughout His entire ministry, He's always exercising what we call open table fellowship. You know, He's always going to people's houses for dinner. Now, I don't know if about you, But that was always odd or curious. Why is he always going out to these people's houses? Well, it's part of his mission. He is God. And yes, part of what God needed to do was gather the lost sheep. And in this open table fellowship where he's, you know, dining at people's houses, notice Jesus invites all people, saints and sinners, you know, Pharisees as well as his apostles, you know, tax collectors as well as holy people. They're all gathered. But I think another important thing about these dinners, this open table fellowship, is Jesus is teaching the people. Here we see Jesus, you know, sharing his life with these people as a gift. And it leads up to the culmination of what? The Last Supper. And that's what we hear in today's gospel. Jesus, God, again, establishes a meal of grace. In this sacred meal of the Last Supper, essentially what Jesus does is he now shares life with us as a gift, the way it was meant to be from the very beginning. That's why if we look at the words of consecration, Jesus says, "This is my body, take and eat. This is my blood, take and drink." Well, Jesus really is sharing his life with us, you know, in those very words of the consecration. Now, it's interesting, the apostles, they don't act like Adam and Eve. They don't go and grasp his body and his blood. They freely receive it as a gift from God. And in doing so, then they share it. They continue the work of the church in celebrating the Mass for centuries on end, even to this day. And so, yes, the body and blood of Christ is essentially the sacred meal that God himself established, Jesus Christ. And it's always in the context of this meal that now God shares his life with us as a gift. We take it, we receive it, and we share it. We live out our faith. Now, next, I want to talk about the Eucharist as a sacrifice. And we don't really hear that word or that verbiage about the Eucharist as a sacrifice. You know, about a year ago, our parish has bought the book by Bishop Barron, This Is My Body. And Bob Barron essentially dedicates an entire chapter on looking at the Eucharist as a sacrifice. So what I want to do is the last few minutes of the homily do just that. The first thing that we have to understand is that a world gone wrong because of sin, we can have no communion with God without a sacrifice. Think of it. What does sin do? It misaligns us with God. Well, in order for us to realign ourselves back to God, to be in a right relationship with God, it comes at a cost. A cost is associated with that. I'll give you a good analogy. Two people are friends. They've been friends for many, many years. Goes back to college even further. Goes back to high school. So they've shared a lot together. Well, something happens. Something blows up in their friendship, whether it's deceit, betrayal, whatever it may be. Well, now they're very far apart. Well, in order for those friends to reestablish that relationship as friends, it's going to come at a cost. What's the cost? Well, they have to set aside those grudges. They have to set aside those hurt feelings. And they have to be able to forgive each other, which might be painful. But that's the cost for their friendship to get back together. Well, the same thing holds true with God. You know, you look at every Old Testament covenant and it requires a sacrifice. Now, don't get me wrong. God does not need our sacrifices. Instead, the sacrifices are for us, for our sake. Turn to that first reading. Notice what's going on right now. You know, God has just created a covenant with Moses. And so Moses ratifies that covenant. He accepts it or affirms it by slaughtering the bulls, as it says in the first reading. Notice what he does with the blood. Half of it goes onto the altar representing God. The other half essentially is sprinkled on the people. Now, in the ancient world, and even today, we recognize blood is life. You know, if we don't have enough blood in our bodies, we die. And so by sprinkling that blood on those people, Moses is basically saying to God, we are committed to God. We have fully committed our life to you. And therefore, we now share, you know, and we receive your life. Now, fast forward to Jesus Christ. Jesus, he now becomes our sacrifice for our sins. Now, go back to the words of consecration. Notice what Jesus says here. In the words of the consecration, Jesus specifically says, he says, take this, my body, you know, which will be given up for you. Well, that's sacrificial language. Next, he says, you know, take this, the blood of the covenant, and drink, for it will be shed or poured out for many. Again, that's sacrificial language. Jesus giving up his body, he is pouring out or shedding his blood. That's all sacrificial. Notice too, you know, when we perform the consecration at Mass, the table that we use, we call that an altar. And that's very specific reason why. In the Old Testament, when they would make the sacrifices to God after renewing or establishing a covenant, they always sacrificed the animal on an altar, you know, as giving that animal to God. And so we continue that same tradition. We call essentially the altar just that. It's where we remember the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus, he is our Lamb of God, just as John told his disciples. Take it a step further. You know, there's that great Advent song, O Come, Emmanuel, and Ransom Captive Israel. Well, before Jesus came into this world, we were held captive or hostage. We were captive to sin and death. That reigned over us. But through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, now he paid that ransom. And that was the only ransom that could be paid to liberate us so that we could realign ourselves into a right relationship with God the way it was meant to be. And so in Jesus' sacrifice, we are brought back to God. And so every Mass, you know, we celebrate, you know, the greatest gift that God could give us, his body and blood. But the Mass is a sacred meal that God himself created for us with the specific intent to share his divine life with us as a gift. We receive it, and then we share it by living out our faith. But we also remember at Mass, all of this is possible through the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. And may the grace and the peace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.